Here, as we look at the book of Judges through the eyes of the Israel's judges, we considered five of the judges of the nation of Israel. And tonight's message is going to be different than the one previous to that. This passage really doesn't speak about one specific judge, but it speaks about an unknown prophet. And as we move through the book of Judges, a pattern pretty much becomes clear to us and emerges for you and I. The children of Israel would serve God as long as they had a strong leader, but when that leader passed away, they fell back into sin. And when they sinned, God used those pagan nations around them to chasten them. And God allowed their enemies to afflict them and oppress them to show them the title of this message, The High Price of Low Living. So as we think about that thought, let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll read once again Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. If you're able to stand, if not, we understand that as well. And the children of Israel, beginning in verse 1, did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's scary right there, isn't it? And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they had camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle, they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came up as grasshoppers for multitudes. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our head and our hearts this evening, Father, after the reading of the Word of God, I pray, Father, as we look at this continued thought, Father, of the high cost of low living, I pray, Father, you would help us and stir us, Father, that we'll not be found to be like unfaithful Israel. But Father, we be found like faithful Israel during the good years where they served you and loved you with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul. So Father, I pray now that you would meet with us here, save that one that could possibly be here this evening, Father, that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior. And then, Father, we do pray, Father, for the one heading into surgery tomorrow. Father, I pray that you'll watch over her and protect her, Father. Give the doctors great wisdom as they treat her, Father, for this knee replacement. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Last time we met, we took a look at verse number 1 in the first part of that verse. We looked at point number 1 of this message. We saw the sin that they embraced. I want us to notice, beginning in the second part of verse number 1, down through verse number 6 this evening, notice this in Roman numeral number 2, the suffering that they endured. The suffering that they endured. Our text records the terrible place that the nation of Israel paid for their foolishness and sinning against God and leaving him out of their life. And what they suffered really serves to remind us that we'll not get away with our sin as well. We might think that we can get away with our sin. We might even think that no one is going to find out about our sin. But the truth of the matter is this: God knows our sin, and in his time, he may choose to expose our sin. Think about that, how scary that is. Oftentimes, we're more afraid of being exposed of our sin to the people than we are to God himself, who already knows that sin the moment we sin, and even before we sin. I'm reminded of this truth in Numbers 32 and verse 23, for if we will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And notice the last part of this verse we're more familiar with, and be sure your sin will find you out. I think of Luke chapter 12 in verse number 1 through verse number 3. The Bible said, in the meantime, when they were gathered together and a numerous multitude of people insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Then beginning in verse number 2, notice what the Lord said. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever he has spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which he has spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. Listen, my friends, that's these two verses, verse number 2 and verse number 3, and Numbers 32 and verse 23 are some scary verses for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that all of us are going to have to give an account for some words that we spoke that were not words that edified people. We'll have to give an account for some things that we have done in our life that we have hid, so to speak, from our spouses and from our children and from our co-workers and our bosses and from church members and our deacons, but understanding this, that God, it was not hidden from at all. So let's examine what Israel endured because of their disobedience to God. And as we do that, I want us to remember that this same judgment that came upon the nation of Israel could come upon us if we fail to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in the last half of verse number 1 and beginning part of verse number 2, notice that they suffered invasions. They suffered invasion. You see, Israel was oppressed by the Midianites. If you remember, the Midianites were the descendants of Abraham, just like the nation of Israel was. And they descended from a man by the name of Midian, who was the son of Abraham and Keturah. According to Genesis 25 and verses 1 through 6, we find that Abraham married Keturah sometime after Sarah had passed away. The Midianites appeared from time to time in the Bible. They're not mentioned as much as some other groups of people, but they are mentioned there, and it's worthy to know where they had come from. The Midianites, Moses ended up marrying a Midianite woman, and her name was Zipporah. And he married her after he fled from Egypt. In Exodus 22 and verse 21, the Bible tells us this. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. Then there is Midian and Balaam. In Numbers, we find that the Midianites were counseled by Balaam to seduce the Israelite men and turn their hearts away from God toward idols. And it worked, and over 24,000 men of Israelites died as a result, according to Numbers chapter number 25. That word Midian means strife. And I have to tell you right there that the Midianites are not people that the nation of Israel should have been fellowshipping with. And the Midianites are a clear picture of the conflict that we have in this world. They're a picture of this corrupt world, and it's a desire to draw us away from God. And that's what the Midianites wanted to do. I think the only reason that the Midianites had power over the people of God was because the people of God were being unfaithful to the Lord, and God allowed them to be conquered and destroyed by the Midianites. And their disobedience, we might even say this, lowered the wall of separation between them and the world. And as a result, Israel has gotten into trouble because they refused to walk with the Lord. And listen, by the way, when you and I don't stay close to the Lord as well, and we don't live according to His Word, guess what we do? We open up doors, and most of the time our troubles come directly from our own foolish decisions. You see, we like to blame Satan for everything that happens wrong inside of our life. But let me help you. Most of the time, Satan has nothing to do with what goes on in our life. It's your own carnal nature. It's your own flesh that causes you troubles and you make foolish decisions. Our disobedience translates into weakness, and our weakness then results in us being invaded, attacked, and overrun by the world, the flesh, and the devil. So I don't know about you, but understand this. They understood and saw that they suffered an invasion. But then look in verse number 2. We find the nation of Israel suffered imprisonment as well. And so the oppression of Israel by the Midianites resulted in Israel losing its will to fight. no longer did they have a desire to stand up and fight. Notice what the Bible said. They ran away. The Bible said they hid in the mountains while the enemy overran their land. I can remember when I was growing up in high school and telling everybody, I was proud that I was going in the United States military. I was proud that I was going in the United States Air Force. And I could still remember some of the big sports players and those that had great academic skills in our school and speaking with them during a lunchtime. And they said, listen, I'm not going to go fight somewhere else, but listen, let them come to Virginia Beach. Let them come to the shores of New Jersey, and I'll be there for them. Listen, that's not the attitude we ought to have. And so the nation of Israel had no excuse. The Midianites were there. They were marauding and stealing their food, their women, and all the grain and cattle and everything that was there. But notice what they did. They ran away and they hid in the mountains instead of standing and fighting. And their disobedience made them weak, and it caused them to lose their will to fight. And nonetheless, it caused them this. It left them to be utterly defeated in the eyes of the Midianites and also in the eyes of God. You know, when we allow sin to reign over us, we'll find the same thing to be true in our lives as well. You see, sin will rob us of our godly character, and it leaves us unwilling and unable to fight. When we allow sin to rule in our hearts, we become listless, we become lifeless, we become lethargic in our Christian life. Sin also causes us sometimes to hide in fear while the enemy takes everything that we have of value. And people have allowed their carnal lifestyles to dominate their lives. They have lost their will. They have lost their ability to fight against sin. And the truth is, we're prisoners of our own lifestyles. And we hide in fear from actions that we think that we cannot control. But the truth is, Jesus has the power to set you free. In John chapter 8 and verse 36, the Lord said this, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." But at the same time, you cannot hide in fear of your sin and still enjoy the Lord's freedom. It's a misnomer. You can't hide in your sin and still enjoy the freedom and liberty that we have because of what Christ has done for us. If you are to be free, you're going to have to deal with your sin, and you're going to have to confess it. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 tells us this, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And then, of course, we have 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we must confess our sin. We must repent of that sin. And lastly, we must forsake the sin. If you can be free, but you're going to have to be proactive. It does not happen all by itself. Well, we see that the nation of Israel, they suffered invasion, and they suffered imprisonment. But notice the verses 3 through 6. They suffered impoverishment as well. Notice verse 6, the word in verse number 6 uses the word impoverished. "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." That word impoverished means to make slack, or it means to make feeble. It comes from a root word that's used to speak of a bucket that's dangling from the end of a rope. It's a picture of helplessness. It's a picture of hopelessness. And it's where we get the phrase, how many have heard this? "I'm at the end of my rope." And that's where we get this phrase from. It's a picture of a people at the very end of myself. My wife used to tell my two boys, she says, "You're on my last nerve, amen. You're on my last nerve." That's someone who's at the end of their rope. Israel saw everything that they had loved being taken away from them. Now remember now, the Midianites didn't come and stay and conquer them. They just rolled in about harvest time. After the nation of Israel had done all the work, they planted the grain, they raised the cattle, they're about ready to harvest everything, and then the oppressors would come in and they would steal all that they had and go back on their merry ways, leaving them impoverished. And so we find that Israel saw everything that they loved being quickly taken away from them. You see in verse number 3, they planted their fields and the enemies came and took away their crops, according to verse number 3. In verse number 4, we saw all the livestock taken away, and so much to so that there was no sustenance left. There was no food left for the nation of Israel. They were literally made weak physically because they were at the end of their rope. Everything they valued was taken away from them. Everything they needed to sustain their lives as a nation was gone. There was nothing left. You can imagine. They came in and took everything and anything that they could. That's the way sin does to you and I. It strips us of everything of value and everything that you and I live for. It leaves us slack. Sin leaves us weak. And at the very end of our rope. And if you choose to live your life your own way, guess what? Do not be surprised when you look around and see the things of value being taken from you. Some people have chosen sin over a spouse, and now their marriage is gone. Some people raise their children to be the very best and have the best and do the very best, but they don't raise and teach them to love the Lord. And oftentimes, those same parents see their children walk away from God. Some people live for material things in this life, forgetting that the material world is just fleeting. And when they end this life, they have nothing and have set nothing on as a reward for them in heaven. So let me ask you this evening, what are you investing in tonight? Where is your investments this evening? If you're investing in anything but Jesus, let me help you. It will pay dividends, but you will not want to reap those dividends that will be coming your way. Turning your Bible to that famous verse of Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. I pray this evening that you're investing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 has to say. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I know personally that investing in Jesus Christ pays off. It pays dividends that are eternal, even according to Matthew 6, verses 19 through verse number 21. I want to have dividends that pay and they pay for an eternity. Well, not only do we see their sin they embraced, not only do we see the suffering that the nation of Israel endured, but notice thirdly, the security they evaded in verses 7 through verse number 10. So when the oppression of Israel became too great, they once again did what they always did. When they were beat down, when they had no food, and we find, according to the Bible, that they didn't have enough food to eat, we find they did what they always did. They came crawling back to God himself. Just as in times past, guess what? God heard their cry. I thought about that. Isn't God so gracious to hear their prayer? No matter how many times that you and I fail God, no matter how many times we go on our own way, guess what? He's always there to forgive us and receive us and restore us back to fellowship with him. That's his promise to his people. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins again and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his mercy that he bestows upon us daily. So we could think of it this way. God heard their cry, but he didn't give them a deliverer immediately as he did in other times. Instead, God sent an unnamed prophet, and he sent them a man with a word of God from heaven. And this prophet's message was designed to do a couple things. First of all, it was designed to remind them of who they were, God's children. It was a message that was designed to confront their failures in light of God's faithfulness to the nation of Israel. And lastly, the prophet's message was designed to remind them of how good the Lord had already been to them. And it was also designed to remind them how they should be living because of their relationship with Jehovah God. So let's examine this message for just a moment. Notice, first of all, they're reminded of God's deliverance and the last part of verse number 8 and the first part of verse number 9. You see, God had supernaturally delivered them from their bondage in Egypt. And God gave them a deliverer by the name of Moses. And God demonstrated the power, his power over the Egyptian gods through the plagues that he sent to come upon the nation of Egypt. Then as after they left Egypt, God parted the Red Sea and allowed them to walk over on dry grounds. And if for no other reason, they should have been faithful to God because of his grace and his salvation in their lives. You know, God's grace has been more real to me over the last couple months of my life than ever has been before. You see, God has never sent plagues for me. God has never parted the Red Sea for me, but guess what he did do? He sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary for me. He did put me in his plan before the world began. He did love me in spite of all my sin. He saved me when I wasn't even looking to be saved. He changed my life when I called upon him by faith and trusted in him. And for that reason alone, he alone deserves my faithfulness. He alone deserves my love. He alone deserves my devotion. I shouldn't have to be pampered to get to come to church on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. I shouldn't get upset when I don't get all my way all the time. I shouldn't whine or gripe or complain about my life. I shouldn't have to be begged to serve the Lord Jesus Christ here at Sharon Baptist Church, because I was on my way to hell and he saved me by his marvelous and wonderful grace. He should have my absolute undivided attention in my life. Well, we see that they were reminded of his deliverance, but then notice something else in verse number 9, the last part of that verse. We find they were reminded of God's good deeds, of God's good deeds. Not only did God delivered them from the nation of Egypt, if that wasn't enough, but God went with them every step of the way during their wilderness wanderings. He drove out their enemies, and he led them, and not only led them, but guess what? He fed them with manna each and every day. He never failed them, even when the nation of Israel failed them in their wandering in the wilderness. He still cared for them. He gave them good land and blessed them far beyond what the nation of Israel deserved. And they should have been faithful to him because of God's blessings on their life. And my friend, you and I need to do something. We need to look around. We need to look back. We need to look up. We need to look within. We need to look all around of us and see the evidences of God's blessings on our life. Listen, you get down in the mouth about something that you think should be happening in your life is not. Just look up, look back, look left, look right. Look at all around the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. He has been way good to you and I. He's blessed us materially. Thank God for that. Most of us had some a house to go home to today, or you had an apartment to go to. He's blessed you materially. He's given you a car to come back and forth to work and church. He's blessed you physically, and most of you, he's blessed you financially. You might not have all the money that you desire, want, or need, but listen, you have enough to pay the bills. Thank God for that. And best of all, he's blessed us beyond our even imagination spiritually in our life. He's been so faithful to us, and he's given us his very best. Besides that, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Because of that, you and I ought to be faithful to him. And out of gratitude for all those things he has done for us, I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ giving us. As a matter of fact, every good thing in my life has come to me through his hand. And James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 tells us that. The Bible says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm reminded of that old hymn that goes something like this. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Well, we see the reminded of God's deliverance, the reminded of God's deeds, but then notice something else in verse number 10. We find the reminded of God's demand. You see, God reminds them that he's not the gods of the pagans. He is their God. And his words here remind us that he is a jealous God. As a matter of fact, in Exodus 20, in verse number 5, the Bible says, thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. Speaking about idols and other gods. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And then Exodus 34 and verse 14, I believe it takes it even farther. The Bible says, for thou shalt worship no other God for the Lord, whose name is jealous. He is a jealous God. He'll not allow those who are redeemed to go after false gods and worship other gods. Israel was made to see that they were suffering at this present time because they failed to keep God first place in their life. They've allowed other things to come ahead of him. And now they're paying the high price for low living. Let me help you here this evening that if we act just like the nation of Israel, if we begin, we'll pay a high price for low living as well. I encourage you not to follow the nation of Israel. So understand this, that for you and I today, God has not changed. He's the same God yesterday. He's the same God today. He'll be the same God tomorrow. And he hasn't changed. He still is a jealous God. And he has chosen you. He saved you by his grace. And he has entered into a very special, permanent relationship with you. And he expects this. He expects you to live for him. He doesn't expect that you will live for yourself. He expects that you will walk with him in love and you'll live according to God's perfect will for your life. And when you do, he will bless you. But when you don't, guess what? There's a high price to pay for low living. I remember what Jesus said in Revelation 3 and verse number 19, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Well, as we close this message tonight, understand this. Low living carries a very high price. And I hope this title really that sends a warning to you, taken from Judges chapter 1, down through verse number 10 tonight. Let me ask you this question as we close. What price are you willing to pay for your own way? The nation of Israel paid a very high price, and they paid a very high price. Whatever you say, I'll be willing to pay, let me help you. It's not worth it, because it's not worth it what will cost you in the long run. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight about an area of your life. And maybe tonight would be a good time for you to bring that to him and repent and seek his forgiveness. Are you saved tonight? Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? If you are, can you say, yes, I am living close to him? Are you living clean, separate from the world? Are you being faithful to him and faithful to do what God has called you to do? Come to him right now. Deal with these areas of your life that he has spoken to you. The nation of Israel paid a very high price for low living. Do not make the same mistake that the nation of Israel made. Let's pray.